Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome to episode 90 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Ty's wearing his favorite shirt today.
Yes, I am.
He's
back.
He's wearing a Sonnet shirt. If this goes on a clip, Ty, I can't put you on a clip today because then you're kind of representing the company in a not good way. I might have to leave you out of all clips today. But normally when Eric's not here, you talk the most. So that's going to be challenging.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everyone. Eric's not here.
Turn yourself down a bit, Luke. I can hear everything.
That's fine. Okay. What do you mean you can hear everything?
I hear you moving around over there, bud.
Oh, okay. Then I'll stop moving around. I apologize. As the producer, I have to do some things while everyone talks, you know?
So you have to set an example for the rest of us.
Yeah. Okay?
So if
Ty's
you move
video
around,
is frozen
think,
now.
Well, that's because I'm at my mom's house. If we do post this video, I'm in a new location. A bedroom.
Wow. Your bedroom?
A girl's bedroom.
Oh. The fact that you're at your mom's and you say you're a girl's bedroom and whisper like that is not a good look. Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
All right. Maybe cut that part out.
No, stay in there, Mr. Sonnet Boy.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
What are we talking about today?
We got some bombshell news about the Arizona Coyotes about to be evicted from their arena.
Yeah.
That came out about two hours ago. Another bombshell piece in The Athletic by our girl Katie Strang. Sorry, I don't mean if I mispronounce the last name. And we'll take it from there. Eric's not here. We didn't really he didn't respond to our messages because he's a very busy guy, you know, running a Talking Hockey page, head of sales, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough life
out
there.
Such a tough life for him.
Yeah. He really is a good leader. He communicates very well. He manages us all very well. Exactly what you look for in a leader of everything. So what's happening with Arizona Coyotes? They have delinquent bills and outstanding invoices. If they're not paid by December 20th at 5 p.m., they will be denied access to the arena. So I guess, how is this still like an organization would be my first question.
I don't know how many times I've brought this up and how many times we bring up the Arizona Coyotes and, you know, another failed ownership situation. This is just absolutely embarrassing for a professional sports league.
That's pretty funny.
That the ownership cannot afford to pay the arena bills. Are you kidding me?
Move the mic closer to your face.
Every episode, I have to tell yourself to move the mic closer to your face.
I find it hilarious.
Move the mic closer to your face.
Does that make it more likely that the rumors that they're moving to Houston are true?
Yes. There you go.
If you also looked at, this is not surprising to say the least. I think that when that report came out, maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago about the team being potentially up for sale, there was a guy in the Forbes Business magazine or a reporter for that magazine who basically said, and the NHL came out very quickly and said, no, this is untrue. We are committed to Arizona. You know, it was not true.
Yeah.
Right. That was just covering it up. And with this news that came out, the Arizona Coyotes, I think, have dropped like $30 million in their value since this news came out. It doesn't make sense.
Since the news that they don't pay their bills or since they were moving to Houston?
That's, well, maybe that's something I was going to – I don't know if I just read it on Twitter. It is an absolute embarrassment. Yeah. And how many I ask this every time they come up in the news is how many different owners are you going to go through? How many different, you know, failed attendance numbers and changing arenas? And, you know, how many times are we going to go through this? Because it felt like it was just like 2 years ago where it was the same sort of thing where players, there were reports that players weren't getting paid on time and shit. Like that's, how does that happen in a professional sports league? And how does the NHL just continue to say, all right, this is okay. What is the goal here?
I especially don't get it since Gary Bettman, I understand, works for the owners. How are all 30 owners, other than Arizona, okay with this continuing to happen? Like, they – I don't know how it works with escrow and all this stuff in terms of league revenue and everything, but it seems like a very negative ad. Like, it seems like they're propped up by the Toronto Maple Leafs and New York Rangers and every other team that makes money, that they're kept in the league. I don't understand how this is like the fifth or sixth – like they've had five or six like owner conversations, and they also seem to be one of the worst, most dysfunctional front offices, maybe until the new guy came in. But I mean, it really just doesn't add up how Gary Bettman is so adamant about this team existing, about them continuing to exist, about not moving, not relocating. It seems to bring so much focus away from the on-ice product, which already sucks. Like, they'll never be good with all these underlying external conditions that keep popping up. I truly don't understand it. This is embarrassing. You're right, Ty. Like, there's no really other way to put it for a league that, like, they already have the toxic work environment claims. They already have the moving. They already had, like, the not Chikra, whatever his name. Was it Chikra? Is that the name of the GM?
Chaika,
yeah. Chaika. Like, everything about this team is embarrassing. So, Martin has some thoughts.
And they literally have nowhere to go. Like, next year or the year after,
they were already going to be evicted.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you are now, where they were rumored to go to another suburb, like Tempe, Arizona, right?
Tempe, yeah. But that's 3 years.
If you are Tempe right now, and you say, you look at this situation, and you're going to need to build an NHL facility, most likely, right?
Yeah.
And you know these owners love to try to get as much taxpayer money as they can. Are you really going to, as Tempe, Arizona, as a resident there, or as a, you know, a city council there, are you really going to approve this where the team is not able to pay their damn bills? It's not a functional environment, and it's not a growing environment.
And before Tempe's built, they have to find somewhere temporary. And I've heard it could be like multiple locations. So like the Sun Devils Arena or something, and where their like AHL team plays, and one other spot will be like the three. It's potential they rotate between three. And that's like, well, do any of those locations want them? Because they could bail out on Bain.
Yeah. This it's a bankrupt franchise, and no matter who they put in place there, it's a lost cause at this point. How is, like, really, what is the NHL's goal here? What are they trying to do? Like, it's time to move on. People have been saying this for a decade, and it's like it's one of those things, I think, where they just don't want to cut their losses and move on. They want to do everything they can to make it work. And I don't know how many times the NHL is, you know, is trying to implement a new idea or something, new ownership group.
Yeah.
And just basically paying all their bills, right?
I mean, I think you'd probably have a lot of players that would be okay to play with in Houston too. I understand not what mood – wanting to go to Quebec, because then you have the whole French thing again, and probably a lot of the culture is even worse in Montreal in terms of the expectation that everyone speaks French. But like, Houston's a great city. There's no income tax. I don't know if that's the same in Arizona, but like, it seems like a hub of great things. There's football there. They already have the MLS. They already have, they have the Dallas Stars, but Dallas and Houston, I don't think are super close to each other. it doesn't seem you wouldn't have to move conferences that way. The only thing that would really have to be shifted is everyone's lives that works for the team. But at the same time, it seems like it'd be a much better place. Arizona doesn't have any stars on their team right now anyways. Like, they have nothing marketable about them. So the fact that they have all this stuff externally doesn't really help their case either, because their on-ice product isn't going to save them.
It's trash. And has Arizona or Phoenix, the entire franchise's existence, has there ever been like a competitive period of time? I think like 2010, they made the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I think that's the furthest they've gone.
Yeah.
That or somewhere right. around 20 in the 2010s. It's absurd that it's just an absolute failure, and cut your losses and move on is my advice. And it's been my advice for the past 5 years at least. And you're right. Yeah. Houston's a potential spot. If there were another ownership group in place that's ready to take it on, I think the NHL would have sold them. But is anyone in the market for an NHL team right now? I don't know. Because think about it.
I mean, there was rumors that they were going to get bought and moved to Houston, right? Like, that was the...
Yeah, there's rumors. But, I mean, is that solidified? Is there an NHL facility in Houston? Is there an ownership group ready to buy them? I don't... That's an important consideration.
I think they have an arena. It's probably not...
I think Houston's won the spots with an arena. I think that is correct. I think they're... I've heard that.
Well, I mean,
there's only like three cities.
Quebec City's ready for it as well, is what I'm trying to say. Like, you could, and I think that you very easily could get an ownership group ready to move to Quebec City, because they have that the arena. I don't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but that was set up to be NHL ready. I think it was within the past year or two, right? There was a group in place who was trying to renovate that building or to NHL standards. So that's ready to go. It would be great as a Canadian hockey fan living in Canada for that to come back.
Luke is right, though. Quebec would be even worse. Quebec City would be even worse than Montreal, because at least Montreal has a huge English-speaking population. Quebec City is supposed to be like fully French.
Yeah, it is. I've been there before. It's less English-speaking than Montreal. But there are people who speak English.
Yeah, but I'm saying is you'd have to restructure the whole front office be around that. You'd have to get a new head coach because of that. You'd have to shift the divisions and conferences a little bit because of that. Like, maybe Detroit goes back to the West. I'm not sure. Then you'd have to – Quebec's cold, man. Like, a lot of the players I think would be okay relocating to Houston. I don't think they'd be okay relocating to Quebec. Like, you'd have a whole – conversation.
Are there players who want to play in Winnipeg and Edmonton? Because I think those places are colder. I'll be honest with you. I've been to Quebec City. There's a lot more to do in Quebec City than Winnipeg.
Quebec is very pretty.
It's a very pretty city and there's lots of history there. And it's a very nice place. I think there's a lot of worse places you could be. And I don't know. I think that Quebec City is not I don't see the NHL expanding anytime soon. I think 32 teams is more than enough for this league. Yeah. Quebec City was always a potential for relocation, much more so than, you know, expansion, which is why Seattle got theirs and Vegas got theirs, because those were like expansion ready places. Quebec City has always been more so like a relocation, in my eyes, at least, and in smarter people's eyes in business. That's been the relocation spot.
I've heard on the DL that Melnyk is shopping around Ottawa too.
Oh, I saw that too.
I don't think Ottawa would ever move.
No, I don't think Ottawa.
Just a new ownership. Like, new ownership, and who's not a cheap ass.
Which has to happen.
But
for success.
By the way, I'm looking at it right now. Phoenix was last competitive 2009 to 2012.
Last time they made the playoffs, I think it was 2012.
Yeah, 2011, 2012. They came third in the West, first in the Pacific. That's when they lost in the conference finals.
That's absurd. Like, how do you like?
And like, that's their only good time.
Actually,
like,
technically they made the playoffs in the bubble, I think.
Yeah, but they got their ass whooped, I think, by somebody.
Yeah.
And the bubble doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. It says round one loss, but technically it's like a DNQ, I think.
No, they might have won, actually.
Yeah, they might have beat somebody.
I don't think so,
in the bubble. But the bubble was weird.
The bubble was weird.
I don't know.
They were in the bubble.
Did they play? Yeah, they were. But, like, again, weird. Before that, they were competitive, like, the end of the 90s.
Which is when they just existed.
Yeah. Right? Well, they started in 1979.
So bad. I'm looking at it right now. Holy
well, that's boy. What they plan to do. I mean, they could be good in the next 4 or 5 years, as long as they don't keep doing, they keep losing draft picks. That definitely hampered the team. It's absurd. And the only good thing to come out of Arizona is Austin Matthews, you know, since their existence.
You don't think he wants to go back there?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, it's so foolish to everybody who's like, who thinks that Austin Matthews is leaving the Leafs. As soon as his contract's up, he's going to Arizona. Are you stupid? Do you think he really wants to? He's not going to get paid. Sure, they can offer him a $15 million contract in theory, sure. But is he ever going to see that? I don't know. They can't pay their tax bills. They can't pay their arena bills.
Yeah. Well, maybe in four. Man, if Austin Matthews went back there, though, local sponsorship at the Wazoo, he'd probably attract more, maybe not sellout crowds, but more than what they have ever had.
I always wonder when the last Arizona.
He's a way bigger talent than anyone they've ever had.
Well, I mean, also look at Florida, though. Like the Florida Panthers find ways. I've never heard of the Florida Panthers having financial trouble, but I think that their attendance might even be lower than Arizona's. I think that guy's
real rich.
What did you say?
Sure.
Oh, that guy's rich, the owner?
Yeah. I think he is. You're right.
That owner's like super rich.
But
he's a buddy of Trump, I'm pretty sure.
They make it work, and they have a competitive team, and they've made a really competitive team, and they have a good ownership group in place and good front office. You know, it can
but
work out.
But they have
out.
No worry about the arena either, though. Like, I don't
which
think.
Is, the arena should be like the last of your concerns. If you're running a business, if you're running a NHL franchise, how are you not paying for the facilities? That just boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, Vincent Viola is the team owner of Florida.
Yeah, you're right. He is a buddy of Trump. I've heard of him before.
Yeah, because he was for several weeks President Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of the Army.
Yeah, and then he rejected it.
Yeah.
Because he's withdrew like, fuck
from
that.
Consideration. How's this guy worth $3.9 billion? What did he do?
He's running a successful NHL franchise right now, right? And I just...
Eric had all his stories today about how much the NHL owners are making and how much of the escrow's fucking the players. Not the escrow, but like the cap restraints and stuff. Like,
I really don't understand that part of the business, but I know that players are getting screwed over.
It's because basically, Mr. Bettman.
Basically, how I understand it from Eric's stories is you can make it look like... an NHL or any sports team really is making no money because its biggest assets, its players are all depreciating assets. And technically, even though you're like making money each year, you can like net it out to zero based on how you write it down, like in your profit and losses and stuff. How I interpret it.
I'm sure there's a lot of financial manipulation, accounting manipulation there.
Sure.
That's the biggest thing that people do at the – like the biggest thing people do is companies will allow their executives, senior financial executives, to go to like EY, Deloitte or whatever, affect policy on accounting and financial law, and then go back to the companies that they worked for and get huge bonuses because they've changed the way that their company is allowed to – do finances. I read a whole article about it once about how that's like a prominent thing that huge financial execs do about manipulating policy and things of that nature to make money and then go back and get a huge bonus after they've done it. It's crazy, man. Crazy what they do. Okay. We've been talking about Arizona for 19 minutes now. The only other thing that I think really happened that was big was one, the Trevor Zegras assist. That was pretty nasty. And then the Department of Player Safety just being a complete joke over the last week in terms of what they gave out suspensions for and not suspensions for, and the weight of those suspensions and not. So, I mean, I'll let Ty go first on that one. Ty, what are your thoughts?
He saw my blood boiling.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
And now we'll get back into the show.
George Peros did, or I did?
No, you did.
Yeah, I did.
You could see it coming.
I mean, you're most of the time visibly upset about something. It could be something minor too, but yes, I did know that you're on the edge about this.
Okay. I think what I'll start off with is Jason Spezza got suspended for 6 games, which is the longest regular season suspension, I think you said, in the last 2 years.
Yeah, other than Nazem Kadri's.
Kadri was in the playoffs. Was that really the most malicious thing you've ever seen? It was retaliatory, sure. Neil Pionk was fine. He was put in concussion protocol afterwards, but I mean, he finished the game. He was fine afterwards. Was not in concussion protocol for 2 days. And right before Spezza's hearing, the Jets announced he was in concussion protocol. Just saying.
I do think it was a bad play. Like,
it was a bad play.
It's not a good hockey play.
It was pure retaliation. Yes. But
and it could be worse.
How did it get there?
Because that's like a big plastic thing going into the side of some dude's face pretty quick.
Pionk
was all knee pad. Well, I guess it wasn't face, but Spezza didn't know what he was going to hit, let's say.
Because
Pionk was kind of falling over too.
If Pionk didn't fall down, that would have been a clean hit or wasn't on his knees. I think even the NHL player safety said that.
That should have been taken into way more consideration than it was. They called it kneeing. How is that kneeing? Like, there were a lot of Leafs fans before we get into this more saying that you should intentionally injure these people. A lot of people may be sick to my stomach about the way that they were calling for people's head, and they think they're so high and mighty, a lot of these Leaf fans most of the time, and then all of a sudden they're calling for people to get, like, recklessly injured and targeted. Jason Spezza, Pionk's falling in the most awkward position, and I know that it's not comparable to the Tavares situation because that was very non-incidental contact because Perry obviously wasn't trying to take off Tavares's head. But I mean, Spezza wasn't trying to take off Pionk's head. He was trying to do shoulder to body hit, and he probably could have reacted in time, maybe. But again, it's a 1 second game. If you let up like that, then it just didn't make sense that this guy was falling. It's not kneeing because the guy fell and Jason Spezza's knee hit the guy's head. Like, that's not what was supposed to happen if Pionk is upright. And sure, he's in a defenseless position, all that stuff. But I mean, that was not taken into consideration at all. And then again, as you mentioned, how do we get to that spot is the officiating was brutal. Like, the officiating not doing their job, giving Matthews a penalty for doing nothing to Pierre-Luc Dubois right in front of the ref, letting that go for as long as it did. Then Pionk knees Sandin. Sandin's clearly injured. And then Pionk doesn't even get a penalty. And then Spezza doesn't even get a penalty on that play either. Like, Spezza doesn't get a penalty on that play. Everything about that game was mismanaged by the refs to be in that position at all. And they should have taken way more accountability for that. Being like, they should have put out a letter being like, you know what, we really fucked up this game, whatever. Spezza still gets 6. Like, I don't know. That would have made me feel a lot better if they were like, we messed up a lot in this game. Like, but the NHL will never do that.
Spezza not getting kicked out had something to do with the 6th game. I feel like it was going to be 5.
No. Martin, it is absurd to me when you watch that officiating in that game. The ref is watching Matthews get whatever Pierre-Luc Dubois was doing, and mounting him, pushing it, grabbing onto his jersey. They call that both roughing, which is crazy to me because the Leafs had a rush chance just a few seconds prior to that. Apparently, it was roughing in his eyes for both teams, so the play should have been blown dead a long time before that. But it was going on, whatever. And basically, I think Matthews got a penalty because he wasn't fighting back. That makes sense. Like, the ref was watching it. I know. The ref was watching it, and Matthews didn't fight back. The ref was upset with that, I guess. And then
but who knows? Maybe they did discipline those refs. But I don't think the NHL would really ever say.
There was no way they did.
This is why.
Because they should start implementing fines for refs that fuck up hard. Because
I doubt they will.
There's like a degree of error, but sometimes refs are just awful.
Man, they won't do it. The NHL never. They don't do what they're supposed to do.
And I think the teams and players and coaches need to go against these stupid trying to gag order on them for commenting on refs and stuff. And I think the teams should just continue to do it. Continue to fucking call it the refs, take these fines, and the NHL might get a clue. Because it is the teams and players and coaches
that suffer the most. The money goes to the league. Why the league would not care? They'd be like, keep talking shit.
No. Didn't you also see that thing from...
Or just stop paying the fines. See what happens then.
Then
you'll be written about that you can't pay your bills.
Well, Luke, didn't you see... I think somebody shared it. Wasn't one of the agents who... Alan Walsh or whatever his name is didn't he post some memo that the NHL sent out about people criticizing refs, and the NHL's stop it immediately.
Yeah, but this came out right after Rod Brind'Amour got his 50k fine or 25k fine.
25, huge fine. I heard it wasn't that bad. I haven't seen it or anything.
Well, he looks pretty angry.
Yeah,
he did look. Very, very upset. Rod Brind'Amour is a passionate guy.
He's a pretty animated guy.
Yeah. But are we joking here? Are these guys too sensitive to do their job now? I don't know. This is why we had that conversation. I forget when it was, but way back, about NHL officiating needing to make their, when a game goes like that, make them available to answer media questions after a game.
Why'd you do that?
What difference is it going to make? Is my point.
What's the difference between a fine by the ref? It's public accountability. What are you talking about? Your logic never makes sense on this.
Because
your logic doesn't make sense on most things, but on this, it really doesn't make sense.
What are they going to do? They make them available. Why didn't you call that? I didn't think it was a penalty.
And that's not a good answer.
Or I didn't see it.
That puts them in a position to own up to their mistake and look like a bigger idiot than they already are.
Did you ever see the MLB umpire?
Can I just go first?
Yeah.
There is the problem that we're having an issue getting refs, getting NHL quality refs just in general.
Clearly the ones that are in the NHL aren't quality either.
So, but what's the answer then? If the job becomes too, because I would bet this job's pretty strenuous.
There's no way call a perfect game.
No,
I don't think there ever is.
Exactly. And you're going to get people hating on you.
No one is asking for a perfect game. People are asking for shit like that to not happen.
I wouldn't want media asking me questions. They ask some dumbass questions sometimes, and they're pretty fucking...
Doesn't matter. Players have to own up. Coaches have to own up. GMs have to own up to it. You think Jim Benning wants to go out there when he's about to get fired, knowing he was in a bad position, that he wants to go out there and answer questions to the public?
But
no one gives a shit. It's your job.
Then the ref also isn't supposed to be the show.
They're also supposed to do their job. I don't care. They're not the show. No one's saying they're the show. You're just going out on a bad game to go to. Yes, on a game like that where everyone's livid, that's probably going to get more views than the coaching.
Yes.
Unless the coach says outlandish stuff about the reffing and makes a soundbite like John Tortorella would, then that media availability with the ref explaining their thought process would 100% be more viewed than the coach or the players, without a doubt.
What difference is it going to make from a game-to-game standpoint? They're still going to miss calls.
It's not about Ty. It's not about missing the average call. It's about missing a knee on that, about explaining the logic about why Matthews got a penalty, Spezza didn't get a penalty, Pionk didn't get a penalty. It's not a game-to-game thing. It's literally selecting them on a game that clearly went to shit with lots of fights, lots of misconducts, being like, what was your thought process behind this?
Yes.
It's not like, oh, you missed a trip in the third period at 2 minutes with Matthews coming down the wing. No one cares about that.
To the NHL.
Like they should be doing it like privately after the game.
Yeah.
I think is hopefully a way better way to do it, to approach this.
No.
It's not going to
make... I know the NBA does that. Like
they do their last 2 minutes. You would 100% need a public accountability.
And the reffing in the NBA is still bad. Even with that last 2 minute report.
It's not public though, I think.
But now
yes, it is. Yeah, the last 2 minute report is public.
Didn't they kind of stop that? I haven't seen many of those recently. I don't know, Ty. I think your logic is so far off on this one. Like, I don't even think it begins to touch the relevancy of what we're talking about, what people want.
I think what they talked about on 32 Thoughts today was a good point. Like, the ref should have, taken more control of that game.
You call a penalty on Pionk? Call a penalty on Pionk? I doubt that happens.
Yeah, the rest of the game doesn't happen.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what you want them to answer to. That's what deserves to be answered.
Yeah, refs don't like doing that. They might quit.
Who cares, man? I mean, they are unionized, but so is the NHLPA.
You ought to care a little because
they should bring up AHL refs. I don't know. Like, the only other solution is tell them to call the damn rule book, which they don't do, and then players adjust, which we've been talking about for a while.
Probably be worse potentially because they can't even keep up with play. Because I know NHL refs have to be super fit.
Yeah, I think it's also crazy how fast the NHL game moves.
Yeah.
Watching it live up close.
They're skating like motherfuckers.
Like, I understand there's human error involved, but I just think when games go like that, it's not even every night that games happen like that, but there needs to be accountability for the refs and it needs to be public accountability.
So what I think is absurd is that Spezza got 6 games.
Yes.
Like, it is insane to me. And you want to know the NHL, he's going to appeal the suspension. I think that was announced earlier today officially.
Yeah.
The NHL literally gave him a defense because they only fined Ian Cole for his knee on Mark Scheifele the other day. They literally gave him a new argument. Spezza has never been suspended in his career. I don't think so, at least.
Nope.
I think Ian Cole has.
Yeah, Ian Cole, I think, has.
And Ian Cole just need another player on the Jets of all teams and got a $5,000 fine.
It's literally insane.
Not consistent. And what I like the days when they would call things or they would suspend people fairly. I think I tell the story all the time when Brendan Shanahan was the head of Department of Player Safety, he was suspending everybody left, right, and center. The owners got mad. So then it stopped because players kept getting suspended, which was fair. There was a lot of dirty hits. There's a lot of dirty things that happen on a game-to-game basis. And Brendan Shanahan, when he took control of player safety, suspended players for it, rightfully so. There's only been one other player I've seen get called, I would say, fairly, and that's Nazem Kadri, right? Every suspension that Kadri's gotten, they've been harsh penalties, sure, but
tough to disagree with.
And I think if it was any player who, cross-checked Jake DeBrusk or made that hit on Justin Falk, they probably would have gotten 2 or 3 games less than Nazem Kadri did.
Probably.
In his playoff suspensions.
Possibly.
And it's absurd to me that he's kind of the only guy that's...
The funny thing is player safety goes both ways. They don't suspend enough. They suspend Spezza too long.
Yeah.
They do.
It's like too long, too short.
They're consistent about everything. So at least they're consistent about that.
Brad Marchand gets 3 games for slew foot. PK Subban's on his 5th slew foot of the year, gets nothing for the last one.
Yeah.
Jacob Trouba lays out Jujhar Khaira yesterday and clear contact to the head, but because he went through the body, but principal point of contact was the head.
Is that what he was in the hospital for?
Yeah, like, man, he got knocked. It was a huge hit. Like, he was unconscious before he hit the ice. And then Jacob Trouba he got no games, no supplemental discipline.
And he just hit MacKinnon today, like really hard, like kind of similarly.
I mean, it was like a Dion Phaneuf classic hit, but I don't think it was like dirty, but I think it should have been suspendable for like one or two games because he did drive through the body, but
I have Truba in fantasy and I don't care.
Oh, well, now you're selfish. I just like, man, like all four decisions in the last 2 days or whatever or week don't make any sense. And that's the thing with the player safety is what the hell is going on? Like, what is going on? What are you doing? George Peros, you suck. Violent Gentleman. Everyone brings up the name of his like clothing line, the Violent Gentleman or something like that, to be like, this is guy should not be leading player safety. People were thinking that because Colton Orr ended George Peros' career that he has something against the Leafs. So that might be something, but.
Well, like, I think what this is showing is that, like, just because you were a fighter in the NHL and you probably ran into player safety every now and then doesn't mean you're good at running the department now. In George Peros' case, I think that's what he's proven.
Yeah. Was there anything else that happened? This Trevor Zegras' goal or assist? That was pretty nasty.
That was pretty cool.
It was nasty, yeah.
It was being shared by like by Hollywood actors on their Instagrams I saw.
Well,
cool.
That's the only reason why someone would tune into an Anaheim Ducks versus Buffalo Sabres game, I think.
Because of an assist like that? Because of
Trevor Zegras, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're what about Troy Terry? Trevor Zegras
is pretty good.
That's true. Good. Trevor Zegras is going to be good. Well,
yeah.
I think that right now, here's my pro scouting report on Trevor Zegras. He makes a lot of flashy plays. Like there was that game against the Leafs he played that I was watching. I think it was 2 weekends ago now. He was making a whole bunch of flashy plays, but it just ended up in like low danger chances. So keep it up, but get to better scoring areas, if that makes sense. That's my pro scouting report. Yeah, all you can talk about the firings, idiot. Jim Benning, Travis Green,
Alex. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Well, I thought we talked about that, but I guess that did happen the last week. Yeah. Good point.
That happened over the
I think it's more so because like this should have happened such a long time ago.
Yeah. That
I thought it happened so long ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love the hiring of Bruce Boudreau. That was, thank God, this guy's back in the league. I love him.
What did Aliu ever explain his tweet that one of you guys sent?
No.
That made no sense.
The only person he could have been calling an old dinosaur that we need to get new eyes or whatever into the game would be Bruce Boudreau.
Or did he see the stuff about the Quinville shit? Because that kind of pissed me the fuck off.
Maybe he did, but like, I honestly think he was talking about Bruce Boudreau. Contextually. And
for everyone that doesn't know, it was that teams are contacting the NHL saying how long is Quinville not
on the coach? There was no proof of that.
There was a hypothetical. He tweeted, what's the odds that a team has called the NHL and said, you know,
true.
Is Quinville suspension?
I hope no one's done that. That would be.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if someone's done that. But, so Jim Benning fired, man. The way they handled that from a PR perspective was brutal. The fact that anyone knew Bruce Boudreau was hired before Travis Green had been officially let go and before Jim Benning was officially let go is terrible mismanagement of communication. Like,
yeah,
that imagine like maybe if you're Travis Green and you haven't even heard that and you're like, wait, Bruce Boudreau is the new head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
Is that true? Is that what happened?
Well, I don't know. It hit Twitter. Like Twitter knew that Bruce Boudreau was a new coach before.
I assume
it knew. I assume that Travis Green knew that he would let go. He was let go.
What I'm assuming there is they didn't feel like they needed to say Green out, and
it just said Boudreau Bruce Boudreau. Elliot tweeted that Boudreau's the new coach of the Canucks.
I know, but normally like there's an official
announcement from
The team that the coach is out, and then it's like there's no one even in the spot yet, and they're going to do a look. But and then the word came out that it was ownership's hire, or it wasn't management's hire, it was ownership's. And then everyone's like, okay, maybe Jim Benning's gone too. But it was only like an hour and a half later that people even knew that Jim Benning had been fired. It wasn't like immediate either, which thank God. I mean, the guy looked like a nervous wreck in his last press conference.
I it's absurd to me how far back the Canucks have fallen and how far back like Elias Pettersson has gone since his, you know, dominant rookie start where he looked like he was going to be a superstar in the league, and now he's who knows what he is. And it's about
time. I think he'll find it again under Boudreau.
I mean, how this is all on the GM, Jim Benning, like, and ownership, because how many years of failure are you just going to take? Like, if this was any other team and you're Jim Benning and you're hired in 2014 and you make the team worse than it was when they were, you know, at their absolute worst, at their absolute lowest point, how do you just keep on continuing with that and giving him an extension in the off season? I mean, what did he do to even deserve that? Mm-hmm. What, like literally, no. What? He drafted well in the first round, I think. That's about it. Not even.
Exactly. Like, everything else he's done has made this team awful. Like, it's just so bad. It's mind-boggling. Like, I can't point to one thing and it's been like, wow, that was a sick move. Like, the JT Miller is probably his best move, but like everyone else has said, it was early. It was an early move. Like, you did it way too soon in your team development. But yeah,
Travis Green was not a good coach either. I mean, he made some boneheaded decisions, but he's hampered by the team he's given, I would say. Because, like, think of the big contracts that he gave out. Tucker Poolman, Jay Beagle, Louis Erickson. Who else was it? That was just crazy.
Myers.
Tyler Myers.
Trading for the Ekman-Larsson contract.
Yep. I mean, they traded all those bad contracts. Antoine Roussel was another one. They traded all those contracts for that had 1 year left for, was it 5 years of Ekman-Larsson?
Yeah.
And that this team was like right up to the cap and their depth is trash, right?
They have the
foundational pieces, I'd say. You have Pettersson, who can show he's a number one center. You have Demko, who showed he can be a starting goalie. You have Quinn Hughes, who can show he's at least an offensive defenseman who can maybe pick up his defensive game a little bit more. If he can figure that out, then, you know, you have your 1D, 1C, and number one G.
Besser's like a 20 goal scorer at least, guaranteed. I don't know, based on injuries, if he's much more than that.
Horvat, they got. They don't have like a.
They obviously have JT core. Miller. And JT Miller's a huge trade piece, I would say. They need to pull that trigger because that guy's sick and they do not need him.
He, every time I've watched him, he's just made some terrible play, some terrible turnover. So I would say that's not a loss.
I think that's partially because he is forced to be like a first line guy for that team. And I don't think he is a first line guy. He's a pretty good second line guy. So
yeah. Travis Green apparently is in the potential rumored for the Philadelphia Flyers coaching vacancy.
That would be shocking. Yeah. I think the Flyers is also not a surprise because of how bad they were last year. Last year, I think they were mostly bad because of Carter Hart just being not knowing how to stop a puck. This year, Carter Hart's picked it up, but someone who's taken a huge step back is Provorov. I don't know how if Scout Eric was here,
that's three years in a row, isn't it?
Yeah. Provorov had a really, really good year where he looked like he was a number one foundational piece on defense. And now is, who knows? They made that trade for Rasmus Ristolainen, and I think he's put up really bad stats, still continue to do so. Ryan Ellis hasn't played, who was their big offseason acquisition. Drew is old, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people thought the Flyers were going to be good this year. I don't think I was one of them, but
some people did. We got to go back to that episode that we recorded where we predicted. Because I don't remember what I said about the Flyers. I don't think I should have liked them.
I think we had them as like a fringe team, all of us. So yeah. I'm looking at I was just on Twitter and I'm looking at the Phoenix thing right now. Craig Morgan, who's the guy that's reporting along Katie Strang, said that the Glendale city manager says that I think it is likely that for us to move forward, we're going to need assurances that they're not going to just rack up a huge bill and then walk out the door in June owing the city a lot of money. So they're like doing this now. So they're like, you better pay because June's coming up where you're already going to be out, and you must already have.
That's
like
a lot harder to get money from.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Let's say they don't pay. And I just saw Eric shared a story. It's $250,000 in delinquent bills. To put that into perspective, the minimum NHL salary is what, $750,000 these days?
Don't know.
Player? The minimum player salary, $750K, I think, somewhere around there.
I think it's either that or in the 800s or something.
Yeah. And they can't pay their $250,000 tax and arena bill. What do they do?
I'd be worried about getting paid.
What would happen?
There.
Yeah. What would happen if by December 20th they don't pay their bills? Where do they play? Where do they go? The team just folds.
I think they would fold. They'd like forfeit the season. Maybe they play in like a local community rink. They'd probably sell it out that for sure.
And play it for
a thousand seats.
Yeah, play at Canlan Ice Sports. You know what I mean? Like that's basically what'd be going on here.
Yeah, they play where the house league teams play.
Contingency or something.
You sure? You think so? We're talking about the Arizona Coyotes here.
I mean the NHL has a contingency or something.
You sure about that? I mean. I don't think this has ever
all
happened
away
before.
Games for the rest.
Yeah, literally, that's what it's gonna have to be.
Yeah, they go to Dallas or where'd be the closest place? Anaheim for a home game.
Their next, I think Vegas is maybe closer.
I think Vegas is pretty close. That's why they're pretty pissed they're not in the Pacific because they're like right next to Vegas.
Yeah, I think that that's crazy. Like, I think the next, looking at the calendar, the next Arizona Coyotes home game would be December 23rd. So if they're locked out on December 20th, how are you going to have a contingency in place for December 23rd? Is my question.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Sorry, I bet they would make it an away game. They would make it at Tampa or something.
Think of how crazy that is, though. Because
that's like a good punishment for them.
Tampa, well, sure, but it's also bad for Tampa because they're probably on a West Coast road trip at that point in time, right?
Mm. Hopefully on their way back.
Yeah, on their way back, sure. But I mean, that's crazy. It's absurd.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe they handle it like COVID protocol pushing and I don't know. Actually, like, it's probably not possible.
Like most arenas out there are booked every day for concerts, and maybe there's other venues going or other events going on there,
Tampa
right?
Bay's
like,
might be booked.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like there could be a concert going on the 23rd, right? What do you do then?
Because the team also can't pay anybody.
Yeah. Host them.
Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's bad.
That's an embarrassment. Anyway, anyone else have any final thoughts for today?
What do you think about we didn't really talk about Bruce Boudreau's hire too much.
I like how we looped back to Arizona.
I know. Sorry. I was reading a tweet. We didn't really talk too much about Bruce Boudreau. I think he's a good hire. Who do we think is going to fill do you like the Bruce Boudreau hire? And who do you think is going to be the Philadelphia Flyers new head coach?
I think Bruce Boudreau is a great coach. Like I think that's been very well known.
Why hasn't he coached in so long?
I think
he's an old dinosaur, man. What are you talking about?
I mean, maybe
where was his last coaching?
Minnesota. He was head coach. He was fired, but that was when Minnesota was kind of like he kept Minnesota afloat.
Yes. Right?
While they were in their middling years. Well, I mean, they've always kind of been in their middling years, but like he made them. He bumped them up a lot. Right, like with his coaching and strategies and whatnot, I think he's a great hire for any team. And if the Leafs, you know, were going to move on from Sheldon Keefe, who I also think is a good coach, Bruce Boudreau was like number one on my list. In fact, I think there was a point in time last summer, like summer 2020, where you know he was rumored to be an assistant coach candidate for the Leafs, and
Dave Haxel got taken away.
Yeah. So they were going to hire – of course he would want to be a head coach, but he basically told – he's been saying for so long how much he's a Leafs fan. And he was like, I would be the assistant coach on very few teams, probably only the Leafs is basically what he was saying, right? And
I wonder if they ever did make the call. I wonder if Dubas ever tried to
– I think that the power dynamics there would not be good because of how – you know, Boudreau is has been a coach for decades and, you know, was a head coach for so long. And I don't think it would have worked out very well.
No, I don't think so either.
So I think they made the right call by not hiring him. But let's say that the Leafs, when in the beginning of the season, when they were struggling, if they decided to, you know, make a change at coach, I mean, looking at it right now, it's a good thing they didn't. Bruce Boudreau would have been number one on my list easily. Mm-hmm. And I think the Vancouver Canucks made a good hire there. I think that Claude Julien is, you know, he's also a good coach, I'd say. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at the Flyers, I think that they're going to stick with Mike Yao.
Sorry, yeah, I don't know if Mike Yeo.
Mike Yeo, that's right. As their coach for a little bit. I think that's what Elliot was kind of reporting, that maybe they'll stick with him as intern for a period of time, because he also has coached,
Minnesota.
Coincidentally.
He also coached St. Louis, right?
He coached St. Louis.
Yeah. So yeah. He's been a head coach for a period of time, and they'll probably give that a try for a bit. I think Vigneault is not a good coach, but if you're going to, I think that a good coach for that team would probably be Claude Julien easily. Cause I still think he's a really good coach.
Yeah. I would agree. But this now opens a spot for Alain Vigneault to go to Montreal. He's never been the Montreal head coach, has he? Or was he at some point?
Fact check. I don't think he has.
I don't think so.
I also think that Montreal is fine in their position right now. I think that they're very clearly on the track of we're not doing anything this year. They'll keep Ducharme there at helm for at least the end of the season and probably fire him and start again. That's how I see it happening, at least.
Oh, he was
sense.
As soon as a GM comes in, he'll want
to, which is probably going to be end of the season, right? I think that they clean house at the end of the year, start fresh, new GM, new coach to start the new year.
I was right. Vigneault has been the coach of the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, he has.
He has.
In 1996-1967, Vigneault began his second stint in the NHL and his first as a head coach with the Montreal Canadiens. So it looks like he was there for like 4 years. I thought he had been, but
when
I was like late 90s.
96, 97, nice. He said. So I think that Claude Julien also coached Montreal like two times, and Therrien coached them like two times.
Yeah. I think Claude Julien only did it once.
Okay.
Both those people. No, Claude Julien was there twice.
He was? Man, he could go back a third time.
For sure. He was the coach that was the Montreal Canadiens coach while we were growing up.
Yep.
Early 2000s.
Oh. So yeah, Vigneault was there from 97 to 2001.
And then I think it was Claude.
Never had a winning record. Oh, the first year he kind of did, but like they had ties. In the third year he kind of did, but again they had ties. So
his winning percentage was not great. I don't think he should coach again, to be honest. Like he just keeps getting fired like pretty fast.
His first year in Philadelphia was pretty good. He went 41-21. His first year is typically in places like
how it happens with a new coach.
In New York, he had pretty good records. I think he was a pretty good coach in Vancouver. Like his teams haven't been bad, actually. Like if you actually look at his stats, he's got 714 wins and 479 losses. Like that's a great record. This guy's definitely going to be a coach again.
Yes. He hasn't been out. Yes. I'm just not sure. I don't know. Every time I've seen his style, it just doesn't seem right for the NHL anymore. It no longer seems like it's the play. And I've always heard he's very bad with young players and stuff. So I'm considering most teams.
You've heard that from Eric.
Yes.
Have you heard that from anyone else?
I don't know.
that's my question to you right now, Martin. Because I've also heard the same thing, but I've only ever heard it from I've seen it on Twitter a couple times, but I've mainly heard it from Eric.
I've also heard reports that he is quite an aggressive coach and does put people off. Like, doesn't Konechny and him like hate each other? Isn't that part of the issue right now?
Well, like, I doesn't know, a couple issue players anymore.
And him hate each other? Like, wasn't that part of their problem in Philly? Like, and I'm pretty sure I remember hearing in New York, like, certain players had problems with them. I'm not remembering who. And Vancouver, I can't remember what happened there. I think they just started to suck. That was around the time that they started to suck. So they switched up things. But yes, I've heard multiple spots like he can be a off-putting person on the players.
Yes, I've heard that too. Yeah, I think that's it for today. I think we covered all the bases. No Eric today, so we actually split up the talking quite a bit. I actually felt a little bit more dialed in because Eric doesn't speak over any of us, or Eric wasn't speaking over any of us. So thank you everyone so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We'll see you next week. Ty's ready to go to bed.
Yep.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.